Take your Bibles and turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And we'll be looking at verses 10 down through the remaining of this chapter. Really going to be focusing on verse 10 and 11 this evening. But we will, Lord willing, get to the end of this chapter this evening concerning the things that the Lord has laid on my heart. The title of the message tonight, it's not about you. It's not about you. Paul, having in this chapter, in his greeting and in his statement of concern in verses 6 through 9, and 1 through 5 and 6 through 9, expressed to the churches here at Galatia, he expressed the troubles that they faced. The troubles of the men that had crept in unawares by these Judaizers that came in. They had two main issues that Paul is addressing throughout this whole book. Throughout this whole book, the main issues are the his apostleship and the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, these false teachers, they had came in shortly after Paul left. They came in these churches trying to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to give their teaching credibility, they tried to discredit the apostleship of of Paul. They tried to discredit his apostleship. And last Wednesday, we saw that Paul came out with full force. In his first opening statements, he come out with the most plain and simple language, yet very harsh in his approach at the very beginning. And he expressed his concern for these that profess faith in Christ and who follow these false prophets who preach the message of salvation by works. Dear believer in Christ, we must, as Paul does here, contend for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must, as Paul did, denounce anyone who preaches another gospel. That is, who preaches a gospel that does not originate with God. That gospel that does not have Jesus Christ as its sole object, and it does not have as its means grace. Any gospel that doesn't have those things is another gospel. Anything that is not preaching the Lord Jesus Christ that originated from God and by means of grace is another gospel. And this heresy of our day is not salvation by circumcision as was preached at Galatia by these false prophets, but it is rather salvation by the will of man or by the religious works of men. This is another gospel, which is not another. And therefore, believers, let us rebuke all who profess faith in Christ who hear such a gospel. We must rebuke them not with words of hatred, but words of love. The Apostle Paul here, he's concerned about these believers. And I'm concerned with anybody who professes faith in Christ and sits under such a ministry, sits under such a false gospel as free will works religion. And my friends, we are to ask them, we are to tell them and command them to come out from among them. Paul says, what fellowship has light with darkness? What fellowship has the temple of God with the works of iniquity, with Baal? What fellowship should we have with those people? We shouldn't have any fellowship at all. There should be no communion or fellowship between us. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Amos says, and those that preach such lies, we are to call those that sit under those to come out from them. But we are to tell those who preach such lies to let them be accursed. To let them be accursed. Let them alone. Let them alone. Jesus said, let the blind lead the blind. Both will fall into the ditch. And so will all of those that follow them. They will be accursed as long as they sit under such a heresy as that. And so in verse 10 in our text, after saying that, Paul comes to this point now in verse 10 and he turns the issue from the gospel to the authority by which he preaches this gospel. In other words, what authority do I have to say such harsh things about these others who preach this other gospel? Who gives me that authority? Why is my gospel the only gospel? How can I say that? So Paul turns to this matter and this question of his authority and apostleship. And he says this in verse 10. He starts with a question. He says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men?" Paul says, am I trying to preach the gospel to win over men or God? Am I trying to change God's mind or am I trying to change men's mind? What am I doing? How am I preaching this gospel? Or rather, am I trying to preach how to earn the favor of men? Am I preaching for the favor of men? Well, see, Peter and John had this same problem. When the high priest called Peter and John before them after healing that impotent man, they said, "You shouldn't teach in that name Jesus anymore." And they said, "I'll tell you what, why don't you judge this, whether we should obey you or God? Which one should we rather obey? Am I here to please you or am I here to please God?" Paul said, am I pleasing God or am I trying to please men? Which is it? Paul, like the other apostles, you see, he was not given his gospel by men. He makes that statement the very first verse. He says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. And so here he says, my gospel that I'm preaching is not by men. It's not by men. You see, the apostles were neither given their gospel by men, nor were they commissioned by men. Therefore, their gospel that they preached was not for the use to teach men to win over God. He said, I'm not trying to persuade you to win God's favor either. I'm not teaching you how to do that, but rather to teach men of God. That's what Paul is saying. You see, men by nature are blind and ignorant concerning God and His commands. Man by nature does not seek after God, and he cannot seek after God. He cannot know God. Therefore, God gave His gospel to win men to Himself. That's the purpose. Paul says, I didn't come here to persuade you, or I come here to persuade God. I came here to persuade you. God doesn't change. And God gave me His gospel so that I'm not here to preach this gospel to please you either. You see, this gospel of God's grace in Christ, it does not appeal to the natural man. It doesn't. God's gospel does not appeal to the nature of men. Our nature is one bent on law and works. That's our nature. That's who we are by nature. That's how we're born into this world. We are bent with a mind to try to please the God of our own making. You see, our minds are a God factory by nature. Look at all the religions of the world. Think of any religion you will. Buddhism, Islam. What do these religions have in common? Free will works religion. What do they have in common? They all have man trying to earn favor with God. That's what they have in common. They have men thinking that there's enough goodness and enough righteousness within themselves to earn favor with God. All religions of man's making are works plus deity or self equals salvation, enlightenment, bliss, or heaven. In other words, a natural religious man says, it's all about me. That's what our nature is about. It's about us. That's how we feel when we come into this world. It's all about me. But you see, the gospel of God's grace that Paul is preaching and that we preach goes against the human feelings. It goes against human nature. You see, the natural man, the natural religious man asks this. He says, you mean to tell me salvation rests solely and absolutely and completely on the work of Jesus Christ apart from the work of man or the will of man? Yes. Yes, that's what we're saying. You mean that God saves whom He wills and He chooses to do so before their consent or knowledge is given to the person? That Jesus died for them, rose for them, and that the Spirit is calling them out by the means of this one single gospel? Yes, that's what we mean. This does not please natural man. This, in any sense of the word, does not please our flesh. It doesn't please the natural man in any way that thinks that he should have some part in salvation. You that are believers in Christ, how hard do we have to fight against this? We still have to fight against this, don't we? We still have to kick against that nature that always thinks that, well, I didn't do this, so I'm really not in favor with God anymore. How many times do we feel down because we failed or that we hurt? Because we sin. We think, hey, you know, God's cast me out this time. There's sure no way I can get back in now. We still have to fight this old nature. See, to the proud heart of man, grace is offensive. To the proud heart of man, grace is offensive. Remember Jesus when He talked to His disciples? He said, if you drink My blood, you shall never thirst. If you eat My flesh, you shall never hunger. Remember that statement in John 6? When He said that, His disciples said, hey, that's a hard saying. What did Jesus ask him? He says, does this offend you? Are you offended by this? He says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth what? Nothing. The flesh profits nothing. These words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The gospel is offensive to the natural man. You know that Jesus Christ said Himself, I've not come to set peace but a sword. The gospel is decisive. It's offensive. And when it is spoken in such plain and simple language as that there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved, that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, and man cannot bow his knee to Christ unless God by His grace gives him the ability. That's just offensive to the natural man. It's offensive to him. And this brings a sort of division. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's not about us. The flesh profits nothing. To our sinful nature, if religion does not profit our flesh, we are offended. But only the true gospel of God's grace gives life of the Spirit. The flesh doesn't profit anything. True preachers of the gospel are not here to please men. This is not our purpose. This is not our goal. This is not our object. A true gospel preacher does not concern himself with the affections of men if it violates the gospel. In other words, I am not going to deviate, as any gospel preacher would not do. We would not deviate from the gospel no matter how men feel about this. We don't deviate from the course. Because this gospel is not our gospel that we made up. This is a gospel that was given by God. And Paul says this in our text. He says, if I please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. The message of the sovereign grace of God is not entertaining to the flesh. It is never meant to profit the flesh, but rather it is meant to quicken the souls of men and feed their spirits. And we feed them by one meal. One meal, the blood and righteousness of Christ. It is that meal we partake of by faith. What is the question of modern religion? What's God's purpose for me? Have you ever heard that? What's God's purpose for me? I went into the bookstore just the other day, and I mean, every time I go in there, I really want to just throw up. I really just get sick to my stomach reading some of the titles of these books. How to help me. What can God do for me? It's got to be about me. How can I help God? How about that book, you know? What's God's purpose for my life? Instead of trying to figure out what God's purpose is, they want to figure out what's God's purpose for me. It's me. It's all about me. Man-centered false religion centers itself around man and how they can help God. It is filled with ritual and ceremony. It's filled with plays and entertainment and music. The modern church is nothing more than an amusement park with a cross on the door and a clown behind the pulpit. That's what modern religion is. A place of entertainment. A place that's appealing to the flesh. I read a sign on the way to pick up Malcolm. I read a sign out there, "Our church is not boring." Our church is not boring. And I thought about it. If they're not preaching the gospel, they'll be not bored all the way to hell. Our friends, we're not here for entertainment. Boy, that's plenty of entertainment. To please the flesh. My friend, we are here to feed and quicken the souls of men. That's what the gospel does. It feeds and quickens the souls of men. You don't know how many flyers and pamphlets I receive concerning how to grow your church. I fill up the trash can with them. That's what I do. And if I can use them for scratch paper or to pick up bubble gum off the sidewalk, I use them for that. Other than that, they're useless. Why? Because what they want to tell me is how to preach to demographics. How to preach to the people in your community. How to change your message and tweak it so that everybody can come in under the umbrella of your message. They want to teach me how to preach to socioeconomic status. Mark this down. Any church with such ceremony and entertainment, any church that preaches to a certain group of people is not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they are tweaking their message to please men, they are not a servant of Jesus Christ. They're not a servant of His. Paul said, if I don't preach Christ, if I please other men, then I am not a servant of Christ. I say the same of myself. If I please men, I'm not a servant of Christ. Not here to please people. I'm here to preach the message of God's grace in Christ. The flesh profits nothing. The flesh profits nothing. Therefore, the gospel is to be preached not to a demographic of what your income or how educated you are or how uneducated you are. The gospel is to be preached to one group of people, sinners. Sinners. It is to be preached to the despised and downcast souls that have no value before God. To these that need salvation, not just a helping hand, but those that need deliverance from the pits of sin and guilt before God. I got any of those? You see, those are people I'm preaching to. Those are people I'm talking to. That's the people God's gospel speaks to. Don't speak to anybody else. The gospel has nothing to say that's pleasing about our nature. But rather, it paints us in a very dark and dismal light, doesn't it? I want to give us a couple of passages to look at, and you know these. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Just listen to the sound of this message. Listen to the sound of these words and tell me, does this paint a flattering picture of human nature? As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues have they used deceit, and poison of asp is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet is swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, is that pretty flattering of human nature? Does that sound all rosy? Smile, God loves you. No, it doesn't say that, does it? Doesn't paint a flattering picture. Isaiah 64. All of our righteousnesses are as menstrual cloths. Now that's our best stuff. Flattering? Appealing? Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said, "Is it meet to give the bread, children's bread, and give it to dogs?" Is that flattering? Is that flattering? I'll show you one more. Ezekiel chapter 33. I love this. I read this the other day. It's just totally non-flattering to the natural man. And to us who know Christ, that's exactly the way we want our flesh to be, is in His true light. Ezekiel 33 and verse 13. God says, "When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live." That sounds pretty good. "But if he trust in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it." Isn't that something? God says you can be a righteous man all your life, and yet if you trust in your own righteousness, it's iniquity. And all the good that you supposedly did won't count for anything. That is not flattering to human nature. It's just not. None of these verses give the flesh any hope of acceptance with God, any comfort in law, in ceremony, or will worship. None. The flesh profiteth nothing. Therefore, this gospel that we preach does not tickle the ears of men. It does not please the natural man, but it does quicken the spirit. Praise God. Praise God. It does quicken the soul. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Thank God, because that's what we needed, wasn't it? We needed life. We didn't need someone to tickle our ears. We needed someone to give us life and forgiveness of sin. That's what we needed. And praise God, that's what the gospel does. It's good news for sinners, for it tells of salvation accomplished. Your salvation, believers, accomplished. Don't do anything for our flesh, but it does a great deal for our soul. Does a great deal for our soul. It tells of Jesus Christ who died in the stead of sinners, rose victorious from the grave, and now sent forth His apostles and His preachers to preach this gospel to all men, not to please them, but to call sinners to repentance and to declare to the vile and hopeless, God will have mercy to all who He calls. Isn't that a blessing? That's good news for me. That's good news for me. This gospel that I preach to you, it doesn't please me, and therefore, you know where it came from? It didn't come from man. All the gospels of men long to please men. But this gospel is different. It came from God, and it only pleases God. It doesn't please the natural man. It only pleases God. And it comes by revelation. Look at that, 11 and 12. Paul says, "I do certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men, for neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul says later on in Galatians in chapter 5, he says, look, if I was preaching the gospel of men, then why am I suffering so much? Why am I in such pain? And why does everyone hate me so much if this gospel were of men? If it were of men, they would love me. They would love me. But this gospel is not of men. Paul says, I'd rather obey Jesus Christ who gave me this gospel than to preach any gospel of man. And Paul here in these next few verses, he tells us of his conversion. He says, you remember my conversion. Paul said, this gospel of God's grace, I not only preach it to you, but I've experienced it. I've experienced it. Wasn't that a beautiful picture of all of our salvations and the Apostle Paul's salvation? The Apostle Paul going to wreak havoc on the church and to kill Christians. Hatred in his heart for Jesus Christ and the gospel that they held up, and he was ready to destroy it. He was on his way to kill and to put them in prison. Was there any love in the apostle's heart at that time for God or Christ? Was there anything in that gospel that pleased Paul at that time? No. What happened? God happened. God happened. In the middle of the day when they were riding on those horses, they came to a certain point and God says, you're going to go there and no further. And you can imagine the sun in its noonday light, and all of a sudden there shone a light. It was brighter than the sun and knocked them all off their horses. But yet the others got up and Paul remained prostrate on the ground. And he heard a voice, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What will you have me do, Lord? What will you have me do? The grace of God happened to the Apostle Paul, his chosen vessel to bear his name among the Gentiles. It pleased God, Paul said, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me. When it pleased God. Believer, when were you saved? When it pleased God. When it pleased God. When it pleased God by His grace to call us to Christ by His gospel. And this message of grace that was given to the Apostle Paul was given by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Paul testifies that 3 years he spent in Arabia learning His gospel from Christ Himself. He didn't even speak to the apostles after he was converted. The Lord Jesus Christ called him into a far country. He went out and the Lord Himself gave him the message. He said, I spent 3 years before I even talked to Peter or James, John. He said, I didn't talk to those guys. You see, I received my message, Paul said, from the same person that gave them their message. Now we do receive the gospel from preachers. You receive the gospel from a preacher. You that believe, you heard the gospel from a preacher. Men of God sent to testify of His grace. But this message that Paul heard, you see, he heard it not from a man. He heard it from the man, the God-man, Jesus Christ Himself. And this is why we cling so closely to this book. This is why we cling so closely to the gospel that He preached. Because the gospel that He preached was given by the Lord Jesus Christ after He had risen from the dead and ascended into heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ came to the Apostle Paul and gave him this message. And this is why we do not cling to culture or feeling or emotion or reason by this world. We cling to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that alone saves the souls of men. We cling to the message Paul preached. We stand fast on the foundation of the apostles and hold fast the word of truth. Grace, grace, all of grace which we have been taught. For it is the power of God and salvation that everyone that believeth. And my friends, not to them that believe a lie. Salvation is not to them that believe a lie. If a man's preaching the gospel of works or free will, can a man be saved under that gospel? If the man is lying, can a man be saved under a lie? He can't be saved under a lie. He cannot be saved under a lie. He must believe in Christ alone, and it must be grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ plus nothing. Man believes that gospel, he's saved. A man believes that gospel, he's saved. Anyone trying to please men is not preaching the gospel. Let him be accursed. True preachers of the gospel are called to preach the gospel of God's truth in Christ. And therefore, all the glory goes to God. It's not about us. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. My friend, we are here and we right now call all who profess Christ and believe the gospel, if they are sitting in another under another gospel, call them out. Call them out. If you really know Christ, come out from underneath them. Stop trying to fix their religion. You can't fix it. We can't fix it. Call them out. That's what we're to be doing. Calling them out and letting them know that anyone sitting under a lie, anyone sitting under another gospel, if they follow that gospel to the grave, they'll follow that man all the way to hell. My friend, the gospel of God's grace is all about God. It's all about Him. His glory, His honor, His justice, His mercy, His grace, His Savior, His blood, His righteousness. It's all about Him. Any other gospel is not a gospel at all. Let's stand, we'll be dismissed in prayer.